Thank you, Lord. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 16, and I'll start us with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the victories that we see. I want to thank you that every step is another step closer to having our nation back, a nation that is called to be a light unto all the nations, a nation that has been created, Lord God, for this time in history, wherein we would be the nation to bring forth the gospel unto all the nations. I thank you, Lord, for the commission that's on this country. I thank you, Father, that we have the privilege to pray. I thank you, Father God, that we have the honor to come before you and seek your face on behalf of this country. We thank you, Lord, for the victories that we see. We thank you that those victories are paving the way for things like abortion to be overturned and children to be rescued. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the victories that are at hand. As we press in and we study your word today, I pray that you would just open up the scriptures to us, settle things around us, and let your scriptures just speak to us, heal us, restore us, ignite us, bring about a fire within us, Lord God, that we would take a stand for your word, take a stand, Lord God, as children of the living God, take a stand, take our place, do what we have been called to do. Let your word ignite us tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I just thank you. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Mark chapter 16. Now, last week, we talked about the commission of the church to the nation, and I actually continued this message with our staff the following morning. Right now, we're going through the book of 1 Peter, and I continued this message with our staff, and we were, you know, with 1 Peter talking about trials, and the Lord began to speak to me about the trials that we go through as individuals, the trials that we go through as a church congregation, and then all of that to prepare us to be a strength when the nation goes through a trial. And so I want to encourage you, it's on our website, encourage you to go and to listen to that. So Mark chapter 16, let's start at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, this is a commission from the Lord to the people of God, to his disciples. Now, last week, we studied Matthew chapter 28 and the commission that God gave his people, that Jesus gave his people before his ascension. And this week, I want to go over what is written in Mark, because Mark deals more with the church and more with the people within the church and what our responsibility is in this hour to the church. Now, if you're on this line, that means you're a person that is attuned to prayer and you are hungry for God. Because when Mom and I get on here and speak, we bring people, our goal is, and our messages tend to cause you to reflect deeply upon your life. And when we do that, I want you to know that that's something that we ourselves do on a regular basis. Our ministry does this on a regular basis. We strive to reflect deeply upon our own lives. When we minister, we take the Word of God and we apply it to our lives first. I'm sure that if you considered the many times you've gone through a Bible study and you seem to be doing a particular study like Philippians, you know, the theme of that is joy in struggles, right? Well, when you do a study on the book of Philippians, chances are you're going to have a lot of struggles and you're going to figure out really quick if you've got joy in the midst of struggles. Whenever you go deep into the Word of God, He helps you apply it to your life. He's really good about that. And so when we come before you and we present a message, the Lord allows us the privilege of working it out deep within us in that process. It's not always easy. It's often difficult and painful. But here we have the commission to go. Go and expand the body of Christ. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus is telling them to go, ye, and to all the world. We learned last week in Matthew 28, he said, go ye unto all the nations. Here he is saying, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's every person that lives and breathes, you preach the gospel to him. Because every person has been given the right to hear the gospel. For us to go into every creature and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And we all know what that means, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him shall have everlasting life with him. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall have everlasting life. Consider for a moment the impact of John 3:16. The alternative to everlasting life with God is eternal damnation. Everything that we go through in this life is preparing us for one or the other. Everything we experience in this life is preparing us for one or the other. Every struggle, every heartache is preparing us for one or the other. The decisions we make along that path will veer us to the right or to the left. Eternity with God or eternal damnation. When we go through life, say in our 20s, we often think we're invincible. We'll never die. We often think that it doesn't really matter what I do because the end is so far off. The impact of what I do today, I can fix it. I can undo it. It's so far off. But the reality of it is, everything that we do today leads us to tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And if we veer off our path at any step, if you keep going down that road, it could veer you so far off to the left that you'll be headed to damnation. I know that a lot of people do think that once saved, always saved, but I'm here to tell you that chances are that's not accurate. Chances are that's not accurate. If you get saved, you ask the Lord into your heart, and you go out and you live a life of sin, and you expect to die and go to heaven, that's not going to happen. We have an entire Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation that tells us how to live our life in preparation for heaven. And if we're not living our life on the path that's listed in the Word of God, we will not make it to heaven. Why would He give us His Word if all we had to do is accept Him into our hearts? Why would He give us the precepts in His Word? Why would He give us the Ten Commandments? Why would He give us the life of Christ for us to follow if all we had to do was ask Him into our heart and we could go to heaven? Why would Paul go through all the trouble of having endured many life-threatening situations to get the gospel out if all he had to do was tell them, just ask Jesus into your heart and you will be saved and you will go to heaven and then you can go about your merry way? That's a false doctrine that has led many people astray. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 5. When we are a child of the living God, and when we have been given the commission to go and spread the gospel message, that requires us as ministers, as teachers, as leaders, if you're a prayer cell member, a prayer cell leader, if you're a part of anything that brings about growth, which if you're a Christian, you should be, that requires us, it requires us to understand His Word and to grow day in and day out. Read with me Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 5. Concerning this, we have much, verse 11. Concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principle of God's Word. You have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrinal righteousness of conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and menial faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law. I want you to think about that for a minute. That scripture tells us that we're supposed to be growing. And from the time of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, to the time that Paul wrote this letter to Hebrews, it's about 38 years, and yet Paul is telling them, you have come to a place where you need milk again. What has happened to you? You're supposed to be in a position where you need solid food, where you are eating milk like eating meat like a big thick steak. You're eating meat. Babes in Christ need milk. Babes in Christ need milk. But within a period of time under proper discipleship, they should be in a place where they're on solid food. Jesus said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus came, all of his nutrients, all of his sustenance was come from doing the will of God who sent him. And we know the end result of Christ coming. It was to die on that cross and rise again. Why would we think that we are any different when he said, go ye unto all the nations spreading the gospel and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Go ye unto all the nations. Preach the gospel. People will get saved under you. You will speak in tongues. You will pick up the serpent and not be hurt. You will drink poison and not be harmed. People will be delivered from devils, and you will pray for the sick and they'll be healed. That is the commission of God on his people. You say, well, my pastor does that. I'm telling you, that is the commission of God on his people, his children that are called to grow up and be mature sons of God. We have people that contact us and they want Melchizedek. They pray for Melchizedek. They hunger for Melchizedek, but they don't really want Melchizedek. They don't really want to pay the price that it takes, the cost for Melchizedek, the higher life. They don't even want the next step down, manifestation of the sons of God. It's coming. That's the new breed of believers. It's coming. Because they don't want to pay the price. What is the price? What does it take to look someone in the eye and tell them about the gospel? What does it take to go up to someone and pray for them that they'll be healed? What does it take to go and pray for someone that they will be delivered from a devil? What does it take from us? Facing our fears, tackling our own pride. It used to be a day when they would walk down the street and they would put people in the path of Peter and they would be healed right then and there. People would send cloths through, and I'd like to say through the United States Post Office, but that's not what happened, because people would send cloths that would take days, weeks, and even months to transport from Paul to the sick. And the anointing would stay in the cloth, and they would be healed when this cloth made it to them. Because that's the power of God that was taking place. Here we are 38 years later, and Paul is saying, are you really at a place where you need milk again? You're supposed to be not only consuming meat, but you are supposed to be teaching meat. Anyone who is a child of the living God, who is seeking to be among the sons of God, the new breed of believers, those that have endured the refining, those that will be called Melchizedek, should not only be consuming meat on a regular basis at this point in time, but they should be teaching meat. He said, well, I don't really have a position or a place to be teaching right now. Do you have children? Do you have friends? Do you have neighbors that you can impact? Then yes, you are. Unless you live on a mountain all by yourself, then you've got a platform to give people meat. Paul is reprimanding them in Hebrews chapter 5. How can you come back to a place in just a few short years to where you are consuming milk again? What do we have to do with you to cause you to grow up, to cause you to mature? What has happened in your congregation? What has happened among you? Why has the fire died out? People say, you know what? It's just so hard. I endure so much day in and day out. It's so difficult. How do I get there? It's just so difficult. Have we ever stopped to think that it's just so difficult? Because he's trying to prepare us for heaven. He's trying to grow us up. He's trying to mature us. You say, well, I can be matured without struggles. If that were the case, we would not go through struggles. I shared last week the struggles that I went through, coming to a place where I was willing to finally really bow the knee and stop shaking my fist at God. Stop being angry with him. Stop blaming him and laying the struggles down at his feet and say, all right, Lord, help me grow up. Help me grow up and step into the call that you have placed upon my life. You say, well, I'm not really in ministry, Ricky. I'm not really in ministry. Yes, if you are a child of God, you're in ministry. Well, I have a full-time job. Well, you know what? We work here too. But we're in ministry. Every child of God is called to preach the gospel, heal the sick. That word baptize, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's not just a water baptism. That is an immersion in God. Every person is called to help immerse people in God. Immerse them in the Holy Spirit. Immerse them in the Son of God. That's a complete immersion to bring them from a place of when you first get them saved to a place of maturity so that they can then what? They can go out and they can lead people to Christ. They can begin to immerse people in him. Every person who is a child of the living God is called out of the world and up to God. The disciples walked with Jesus for three and a half years. They learned from him. They watched him. He called them out of the world and to himself. Then he taught them, and he showed them how he fulfilled the law. He broke down the Ten Commandments and demonstrated to them what it really meant when the law was given to Moses. And then he demonstrated what ministry life was. He fed the 5,000. He healed the sick. He delivered those that had demons. He fed the poor. He loved on people. He cared for them in their deepest need. He showed them. He demonstrated to them a life of ministry. And then what did he do? He sent them out in ministry. Two by two into the cities to do what? Everything that he had taught them. He immersed them. He called them out of the world to himself. He immersed them in himself and in God, and then he released them into ministry. Why are we any different than that? We have the benefit of the Holy Spirit. When he sent them out two by two, they didn't even have that. They had the anointing that he had given them, and they went out. But we walk in the same anointing that they walk in. Do you know that? Why do we think it's in the Word? To show us the excitement of being a child of the living God. To show us what it means to be the body of Christ. What it means to demonstrate, to live out the gospel message. We have been given the gospel message. We have been given the Word of God. Then, to add to that, we were given the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be our comforter. The anointing comes through the Spirit of holiness. We have the Holy Spirit. They didn't even have that when they first started. So we have a step up because the Holy Spirit is with us always, igniting us, sparking within us a hunger for God, sparking within us tears over crimes committed against children, over injustices done to the people of the nation. We have the Spirit of the living God that dwells within us. How amazing is it that we have a piece of Him living in us. The Spirit speaks to us, instructs us, comforts us, warns us, alerts us. There was a time that I was working at a gas station, and it was one of those gas stations that you're at the, it has the little booth, you know, so it's got the pumps, and it's really hard to explain through the phone, but I'm just going to hope that you guys can picture what I'm saying. But it's got the, you pull off in from off the street, and it just kind of funnels you through one area. Once you're in, so hoping you're needing gas. So you get gas, and then you go out and pay at the booth. Now, this is before debit cards and all that other stuff. This was many years ago. So the guy comes up. He gets gas. Now, I am on day 4 of the job, by the way. So he comes up. He gets gas. And I walk out, and I say, okay, that'll be $10. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Gas was really expensive. I mean, really inexpensive at the time. And he said, give me the money in the drawer. And I kind of chuckled because I'm like, you know, I was young and I'm like, anything like that would really happen, right? And I just kind of chuckled. I said, that'll be $10. And he raised the gun up. And all of the blood in my body went cold. All of the blood in my body went cold. My heartbeat, I could hear my heartbeat. That's all I heard. I could see his lips moving, and all I could hear was my own heartbeat. And I backed away. This is before bulletproof glass. I backed away, and I went to the register. I don't know how I did this. I honestly cannot tell you how I did this because all of my blood went cold. And I went over to the register, and I got all the ones and the fives and the tens, and I walked over and I handed it to him, and he drove off. And I stuck my head out. I still don't know how I did this. And he had the, you know, it was when they had gas that you got from, it was underneath your license plate instead of the side of your car. And so his license plate, he left it down. And as soon as I looked and saw that, I dropped. And a customer came up and said, are you okay? And because they saw what happened, and they called the police, and I went on this autopilot. You know, the manager came in and they sent me home. I talked to the police. I did a sketch. All that stuff happened. And I went home and I thought, I don't know how I can ever go back there. And I didn't, by the way. But I received a call from my mom. And she said, are you okay? And I said, I just got robbed at gunpoint. This is before cell phones and all that stuff, you know. So I had to go home and get to the house where there's a phone still on a cord. And I told her what happened, and she told me that the Lord had alerted her that my life was in danger. And she had immediately gone to prayer. And I know that it's because of her prayer that my life was preserved. There was a time it was a few years after that, I was awakened suddenly in the night with an urgent, just this compulsion. I had to pray for my mom. I felt like her life was in danger. And come to find out, the next day I discovered that she had, in fact, she had come off a 40-day fast, and her electrolytes, like she was zeroed out on her electrolytes, and she was hospitalized for several days over that. The point is that when you have the Spirit of God, He will alert you to a call to prayer to save you. He will protect you. The more we tune our ear to the Spirit of God, the more sensitive we are to the Spirit of God, the more protected we are. The more insight we receive, the more wisdom we will get. You know, that's why we pray for the seven spirits of God. That's why we pray, Paul said, to pray for wisdom and knowledge and understanding and prudence. That's why we pray for that, because the more the Spirit gives us of these attributes, the quicker we mature in God, the quicker that we as individuals can step into our role as meat eaters and release teachings that have substance and have meat to those around us. You see, when we're all just a bunch of milk drinkers, we're not very effective in the earth. But the more mature we get, the more meat we can consume, the more effective we are in the earth. People say, you know what, it's just me and my husband, and we're retired, and you know, we just pray, and well, how long have you been doing this? Well, 30 years. And I say, okay, well, that's pretty effective to me. That sounds more like warrior status to me. Do you think so? Uh-huh. Well, you know, we have a little Bible study, and they start to share the things that they will teach the people that come to their Bible study. It's just a handful. And I'm calling it a home church, to be honest with you, because there's depth, there's substance, there's meat coming from this couple, retired couple, who just have a little Bible study and have been praying for 3 decades. Those are warriors. They're effective in the kingdom of God. They are raising effective warriors in the kingdom of God. When they war, they tear up the heavenlies, fighting the principalities and the darkness. When they go to prayer, the demons tremble, because they have the Spirit of God in them, and they have not settled for a milk diet. They have not settled for giving out a diet of milk. But they have said, we are going deep in God. We are preparing for eternity, and we are preparing those that come our way for eternity. We are having a kingdom impact. And they just call very, very humbly. And I just think, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. Because that is a person who has a kingdom with a capital K mindset. That is a person that understands the Matthew 28 and the Mark 16 commission. Whether you are affecting nations or whether you are affecting your world, your neighborhood, your church, your congregation, when you are releasing meat into those that you come in contact with, you are fulfilling the commission of God. And you will not receive a letter from Paul saying, "Why are you drinking milk instead of not only eating the meat, but issuing the meat?" God is calling his children to not just come up and out of the world, but he is calling his children to be effective warriors in the kingdom of God. Warriors. It doesn't matter if you're retired. It doesn't matter if you work 60 hours a week. It doesn't matter what your schedule is. When you set aside the time to be with God and allow him to impart his spirit in your life to transform you, you are fulfilling the commission because you're receiving of the gospel and issuing the gospel. When you teach people, you are teaching the word of God. When you pray for people that are sick, you are fulfilling the commission of God. That's what you're doing. And if you're not doing that, it's time to take a step to the side. Never step back. Take a step to the side. Get off the trail for a minute and ask God to refocus you. We all have to do it. You're not alone. Don't feel like this is a judgment, because it's not a judgment at all. God is preparing us for greatness. What is that greatness? You may never be known outside your home. You may never be known on the church circuit. But when you shake up the heavenlies, that's greatness. When you go to your knees and the demons tremble, that's greatness. When you teach people the meat of the Word of God and you tell them, listen to me. We are not going to settle for devotionals. We're not going to settle for a motivational speaker. We are going to press in, we are going to get out our word, and we are going to do our study of the word of God and go deep into his word. And we're going to allow that word to refine us, to shape us, to mold us into vessels usable by God. Why? Because we are the new breed of believers that are coming forth, warriors in the kingdom of God, earth shakers, nation changers. That's what we are. We transform nations through our prayer and our warfare. We get excited when it's time to pray. We get excited when it's time for the word. We get excited when we get up in the morning. Our alarm doesn't even have to wake us up in the morning because the Spirit has woken us. It's time to pray. Let's go. I'd like to say we don't even need coffee, but I'm not there yet. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 41. Now, let me tell you something. This chapter right here that we're about to just kind of go through a little bit, this chapter is about ministry. This is about the child of God functioning in ministry. And you say, like I said, well, you know, I work. I mean, you know, I'm an accountant or I'm a doctor or I'm a nurse or a dental hygienist. All of those things are admirable. But if you're a child of God, you're called to ministry. Mark, chapter 9. How do we know this is about ministry? Because verse 38, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. If we are doing the work of the Lord and actually being successful at it, that means if you go to cast the devil out of somebody and that devil comes out, you have been successful, and you have to have the Spirit of the Lord with you. If you're speaking evil of Jesus and you go to cast out a devil, it will not go. All right, so for he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Now I want to stop there for a minute, because he said, for whoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. That word, little ones, is new believers. I know we use that a lot for children. It's new believers. So if we offend them, that means we interfere with their growth in God. We cause them to divert off the path that they were on in God. That's what it means to offend a new believer. That means you get them off the path. They've gotten saved. They're young in the Lord. They're on fire for the Lord. They're very good at bringing new people into the family of God. But if you offend them and cause them to divert from their path, and they turn away from God, it is better for a millstone to be hung about your neck and you be cast into the sea. Now, how can you come to that point where you are offending a little one, where you are offending a new believer and diverting them off the path? Well, when you go from being a minister for 30 years and you are dispensing milk to your people, you are causing them to be diverted from their path in God. They're not mature yet. If they're sitting in the pews and they've been saved for a very short time, they are not mature yet. And as a minister, if we are not dispensing deep teaching that will help them to grow in God, if we are standing there and giving them a devotional or we're giving them a motivational speech, we are not teaching them how to endure trials. We are not teaching them how to do warfare. We're not bringing them to a place that they can cast out devils in Jesus' name and not be harmed. We are not maturing them in God. And as a result, they could very easily be offended and stumble from the path that God has them on. Consider that for a moment. Who are those that have been left in our care? Do we have a home church? Do we have a Bible study? Do we have a little group at work that we have been discipling? Are we giving them meat, or are we still giving them milk? Are we helping them to endure trials so that they can grow and mature in God? Are we just telling them, have joy and you'll be okay? Nope, just get up and praise him, you'll be okay. Are we helping them to mature in God? Are we helping them to seek his face to learn how to pray in the Spirit, because that's one of the commissions. You will speak in tongues. Are we teaching them to pray in the Spirit for an extended period of time so that their spirit man can mature and develop? Are we teaching them how to keep their ear tuned to the Lord so that he can warn them when they're in danger? Are we helping to grow them up, or are we setting them up to stumble and fall away from the Lord? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves as children of the Lord. These are questions that we need to present to ourselves. If we've led people to the Lord and we never check in on them, we're putting them at risk for the enemy to grab them. We can lead them to the Lord. We can get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can get them delivered from demons. We can get them healed. We can do all that. But if we've just dropped them once we've accomplished that, and God has called us to disciple them, what does the Bible say? The enemy will come back and find the house cleaned and swept and return to the house and bring with him seven more demons. We're setting them up to stumble, to be offended and fall away from the Lord. It's important, my friends, we have endured much. And if you have been a part of this ministry for any length of time, you too have endured much. And we are enduring to be effective warriors in the kingdom of God. We are enduring to prepare us for eternity. But we are also called to have an impact on those around us. We are called to help bring people out of the world and up to God. We are called to be preachers, to be teachers, to be intercessors, to be evangelists, to be prophets. We are called to function in the body of Christ in one of those realms, at least. That's the fivefold ministry of God, right? We are called to engage as a member of the body of Christ. We are called to be ignited as a member of the body of Christ. And we are called to ignite others as a member of the body of Christ. Time is short, and this expansion, this engagement, this development to help bring people to a place where they are mature enough to impact the nation is crucial. We talked last week about having an impact on a nation, and please go back and listen to the teaching I put on 1 Peter, on trials of an individual, preparing us to be a part of a trial of a church that prepare us to overcome in the trials of a nation. It is very connected. When we can look at things as we are a piece of a bigger picture, it helps us to go forward in the things that God has set before us. Think, well, I just have my little niche here in the world. Just got my little niche over here. but your niche is connected. Because if we read on in Mark chapter 9, he talks about if your hand offends you, leads you astray, cut it off. It's better for you to enter eternity with only one hand than to go into eternal damnation with both of them. If your foot, the path that you're on, causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, it's better to gouge it out than enter into eternal damnation with both eyes. That's ministry, my friends. That's your walk. The things you put your hand to, the things you set your eyes on, that's your future, your call. It's so much deeper than what we think it is. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to let you go, but so that we can pray. But I want to encourage you, my friends. Go deep in God. Grab someone by the arm and take them deep in God with you. Mature them, because we are called to be meat eaters. We're called to be meat eaters. We should have put that milk aside long time ago. We are called to be meat eaters. And that's where we have our true impact in the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our time together. I want to thank you for the call that you have on our lives. I want to thank you that you cause us to hunger and thirst for you. I want to thank you that you cause us, Lord God, to press into you, to seek after you, to thirst after you. And Lord God, to take someone alongside us and bring them on this path. Father God, there's something so profound happening in the earth today. Something so great, so it's beyond our comprehension. And you want us to be a part of that. What an honor, what a privilege. To be a part of the kingdom of God, to be an effective member of the kingdom of God, to be a warrior, to be, Lord God, someone who is willing to take on the tough things, to be willing to go to our knees in prayer, to allow ourselves to be matured in you, so that when we go to prayer, the enemy shakes. Some of the greatest warriors I know cause the demons to tremble when they go to prayer. I think about our Joel's Army state coordinators, warriors, true warriors. They are fearless in this fight for our nation, fearless in our fight to make sure this nation is a beacon of light unto all the earth. They're meat eaters, and they make sure their people are meat eaters too. I thank you, Father God, that we can be counted among them. I thank you, Father God, that what we see, what we face, what we endure prepares us for what lies ahead. Allows us to be a part of what lies ahead instead of bystanders, just holding our ticket to heaven. I thank you, Lord God, for igniting us. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We love you, Lord, and praise you. In your precious name, amen.